Blog Talk Radio.
When it's not always raining, there'll be days like this. When there's no one complaining, there'll be days like this. Everything falls into place like the flick of a switch. Well, my mama told me there'll be days like this.
Scott Enstra Network.
The show tonight. Hopefully you're not on the Titanic and you're heading for a iceberg, but many of you feel that way. Many of you have been through things that you've given up hope. You've lost your faith. You're in a situation you think is endless and that it's just going to continue. And that's exactly where the devil wants you. This is part of resisting the devil and he will flee, is taking back your mind. Now, witchcraft is just that. It's bewitching, it's vexing, it's cursing, it's controlling. It has a lot of tentacles. It isn't just something straightforward. It's actually quite complicated. Whenever I deal with witchcraft, I try to go to the root cause. Notice I said try. One of the roadblocks for not getting to the root cause is the actual individual themselves. So I'm going to just kind of go back and forth here a few times tonight on that particular subject and try and address something that may speak to you. And then, of course, the chat room's open and going from there. Now, I want to remind everyone, too, that on Saturday nights, at 9 to 10 on Mountain Standard Time in Phoenix on KFNX broadcasting. And that, again, is just a wonderful opportunity to reach thousands of people at once. There has already been some feedback. There's been some activity. You know, it takes several shows, like any commercial or anything that you do to the public. It takes a while. So I need to just stay firm. But I do believe that the subjects will touch thousands. I know that there's many down there that, that's my hometown, by the way. I spent 47 years there. I also spent close to 14 years in law enforcement down there in search and rescue. And the desert is a very, very beautiful place. Obviously, it's unforgiving when it comes to the temperatures. But, you know, I'm up here in North Idaho now, and just the opposite, that the wintertime can be absolutely brutal, but this winter has not been too bad. But one thing about Arizona is that it's always hot. You can guarantee that for every summer. I don't think I've ever seen a summer that may be less brutal over long periods of time, but when I was there when it reached 122. I was working for the Motorola Corporation, and we were put on standby because it was such a dangerous environment for the elderly, for young children, that if the power, because you can imagine all the air conditioners were just running full blast, that if the power had gone out, just think of all the people that would have been subject to that kind of temperature. And I don't think a lot of people think about that. And so at the Motorola Corporation, we were put on standby that normally Motorola gets the primary power. They pay extra to make sure that they had power because in their processes of semiconductors, microchips, that any time there is a power outage, they could lose millions of dollars worth of product, because when once they're in their furnaces and they're baked, I don't know if you're familiar with that, and if that furnace were to glitch and lose temperature, that the product is unredeemable. But this was so dangerous that Motorola was put on alert that there's a potential that they were going to pull power away from them to make sure that the residential people had it. Sky Harbor Airport, the international airport in Phoenix, planes were only tested to 120. So the airport closed for a few hours until the temperature dropped from 122 to below 120. And you can imagine how brutal that is. Now, whenever someone is lost, whenever there's a life and death situation, when I was in search and rescue, it's nonstop till you find the individual. Now, there used to be a day that they would say, well, we'll break and start in the morning. Well, those days are gone. And so teams were broke up, some, you know, just like hot shots, firefighters and so forth, you would rest while another team would take over until you found the individual alive or dead. Now, if you found the person alive, then it was a rescue. If you found them dead, it was a recovery. I mentioned before that if someone were to drown, if someone witnessed the individual going under the water and not coming back up, then it's automatically assumed that they drowned, and it's a recovery. And strangely enough, the laws in Arizona and probably uniformly in other states, that you could be billed for recovering your loved one. Isn't that bizarre? You'd never think that would happen, but that's unfortunately the case. But I can't really think of any case where they did that other than people that were doing things intentionally. Oddly enough, I can remember two counts, and I'm going to be saying it here because I'm in Idaho. I wouldn't say this in Arizona because of the families that lost their newborns on the lakes and the rivers up there. And when I say newborn, I'm talking about weeks old. And that they were actually taken onto boats and were lost overboard or taken onto inner tubes going down the Salt River. And if you've ever done the Salt River, the Palo Verde and the mesquite tree branches stick out pretty far along with the rapids. And so why would a mother want a newborn in their arms going down an inner tube? And of course, the worst happened. And those are cases when you try to make a decision as a law enforcement whether you're going to file charges or not, which eventually will go to the DA anyways, and they may do it. And I'm kind of bringing this all up because it's society. It's how and who and what we are and the laws that are put in place to keep us in check. And even when we make terrible mistakes, we can be held accountable, such as wrongful death, you know, car accidents, involuntary manslaughter, these things, which are terrible, terrible for everyone. But if you're responsible for the death of somebody else, then you can be held accountable, whether you intended to or not. Now, in criminal activities, if someone dies during a robbery or a crime in commission, then the individual can be tried for the murder of that individual. And again, that's not every state. There's some liberal states and there's conservative states. And so each particular state has its own stance, has its own laws, has its own environment. And we, as individuals, select what state we want to live in. Now, of course, employment is a major factor, and some of us tend to stay in the states that we were raised in because of family. But this is a country that where we had the freedom to move from one state to another depending on the laws, what fit us the best. Now, the state of Washington, just to the west of me here, is now a liberal state. where before, you know, with all the hunting and fishing and all the outdoors people, that it was a conservative state and very pro-firearms. And still is, but unfortunately, because of large populations like Seattle that tend to be liberal, and it's funny how that works out that way, that in their voting and in their representation of their representatives of the state, then they tend to go that way. And then, of course, you get the governor. And that's always a wild card. So what do I mean in all of this? Well, there are things that are in our control, and there are things that are not. And sometimes we just have to be patient when they're not in our control until they are. And then there are times that we're out of control, and we think that everything is going to end terribly. And sometimes, unfortunately, it does. And of course, these people in other countries that are experiencing, you know, the infiltration of the enemy, you know, their daughters and their wives are being raped, and even their sons by this horrible, demonic, demon-possessed infiltration of those that want to bring in Sharia law and practice, you know, things that are of the devil. And all we can do is stand fast in our faith. The devil will do anything he can to steal your faith. And I want to address, what is your faith? Who are you? What do you believe in? Do you think maybe that you're believing in something that's wrong? Maybe you're believing in something that's a counterfeit? And because you want to keep control of the situation, you refuse to receive correction. You refuse to believe the truth. And so things appear to be disastrous and in turmoil continually. And in reality, as I remember I mentioned about witchcraft, in reality, you are your worst enemy. Okay? So there are people that I deal with that have witchcraft, that because they will not let go of things, and or they like their demons. Now, what do I mean by that? Whenever you have somebody that operates in fear and has operated that way for a very long time, and some of you do, and some of you know who that, you know, someone in your life that's like that, that to control a situation, so the overwhelmingness of anxieties and those things that come with fear, that you use your demons to control the situation. But it doesn't really work out, because in reality, you're in bed with the devil. Whenever you allow the devil to influence or direct or change the way you behave and your belief system, okay? Now, that gets us into counterfeits. And I've got a little bit of a list here that I want to make sure that I cover. And of course, if you've joined us, that I've got the chat room open, and I'll be happy to answer any questions as I go along. when fear is, you know, 2 Timothy 1:7, and it's one of my favorite verses. You know, we have not been given a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and of sound mind. And so, obviously, fear is not a part of who we are. Now, certainly, there are certain circumstances that are so overwhelming that it would be hard not to be in fear. But I think what the word is getting at here is that God is not the author of fear. It's not a part of who we are. And therefore, it must come from the other side, because there is no middle ground when it comes to God. Okay? Now, society has gray areas. The law has some gray areas. And there is sin that does not lead to death, and I guess if you wanted to say that would be kind of a gray area, but that's not how I would address it, because any time that you proceed forth, you know, forward in your faith or in your sin, and it may not be sins that lead to death, in time the entrapment, the ensnaring, the bondage then will take you down. It's kind of like drugs. You know, maybe your sin has to do with pornography. Maybe your sin has to do with lust. Maybe it has to do with other things that can basically put you in bondage over a period of time, and you're willing to do things that you wouldn't normally do. Gambling's like that. Bad relationships are like that. How many have been in a bad relationship and you couldn't walk away? Every time you tried to, the pain was so intense, was worse than being in a relationship with the individual. Okay? If some of you understand what I'm saying. And so that immense pain of being separated from the abuser, or from someone that is just toxic and you just can't get along with them, or maybe you're the problem and you're so abusive to them that they strike back and you can't take it. Generally, what happens is that because of the soul tie, because in almost all cases there's fornication, and that defilement of the body, which allows the demons in, then brings in a soul tie that is not of God, and in that soul tie they can tug at your heartstrings and draw you back, which is a terrible situation. But I can assure you again, witchcraft is in this. Okay, I'm going to keep coming back to witchcraft. Now, the mind is where things take place of comprehension, understanding, thought, emotions, anger, love, hate, fear, pain, right? Without the brain, then our bodies are not capable of processing any of that. Now, there is some information that says the gut, your abdomen area, can actually have the same connections and some of the same tissue as your brain. This is why where the term comes, your gut feeling. You feel something. This is why those who are mourn over the death of someone can feel such immense pain in that area, including the heart. And the heart is a kind of a metaphor, but in reality, there is pain that can take place. Now, when I bring and group this all together, the mind being the controller of all things, then is the exact target of the enemy. And the only way that the enemy can get a hold of your mind is through sin or generational curse. There are people that come right out of the womb that are already screwed up. They're already in bondage. They're already demonized. And how terrible that is. That was never God's plan. And so the mind of these individuals, and I've talked a great deal about borderline personality disorder. Believe me, it is such an incredible personality issue that it encompasses almost all mental illnesses. Okay, that's why it's such a fascinating subject and such a destructive subject. And so when one tries to avoid the pain and seeks pleasure, which is typical, I mean, you know, we all want to enjoy things and we all want to avoid pain, that the to compromise who you are or to make agreement with demons to avoid the pain. Remember I talked about how you can like your demons? And in fact, let me equate to this. I just got a thought. Now, psychotronics, meaning psycho, not psycho, but psycho, The technology of using cell phones for beta, ELF, and microwave to stimulate the brain to produce dopamines, which produces pleasure or peace or euphoria high, I'm going to equate to that, to demons, that you like your demons. Because just as a chimpanzee, that when you get them to do a trick or to show their intelligence, you know, in some type of board game, you know, to put their thoughts into processes as to their intelligence level, and when they accomplish something, you give them a treat. Well, what is that treat? Well, self-gratification. Something that puts a person into a frame of mind that maybe they then have achieved something that is beneficial, at least in the short term, that is so pleasurable or so giving someone, you know, the thought that they're a winner. And in that can come pride. Now, when the demons bring pride into an individual, we know that this is offensive to God, because pride cometh before the fall. Okay? Do you kind of see what I'm building here? That regardless of our circumstances and our situations, because our spirit, our mind, our will is a free will, and so we make choices based on pleasure or pain. Same thing with the chimpanzee, you know. So when the chimpanzee's, you know, accomplishes what he wants to do, he can get a banana, he can get a peanut, he can get, you know, whatever. Just like the cell phone gives dopamine. And I'm going to be talking a lot about this technology. I'm not going to let up on it. Microwave towers and all the other things that are out there are absolutely horrifying. They're death from above. And I'm going to look at it that way from now on, because they're so high up in the air. And death from above, by the way, was a World War II. To describe bombers. So you can see what I mean here. Now, when someone has fear and it grips them, now we can all get scared. We can all, you know, be in a somewhat of a panic and end up with a fight or flight. But the type of fear that actually grips somebody, okay, what do I mean? Have you ever had a nightmare where your feet were stuck to the ground and this hideous creature was coming at you, some kind of monster, nightmare, night terror, and the panic, the fear was so bad that you literally thought you were going to die? You know, or you fell to your death and you woke up just before you hit. Okay, that's the kind of fear that will take an individual and have them compromise, have them do something that they normally wouldn't do to avoid it. And I get that. Now, that can also be something subtle, and it can be something extreme. Again, the subtleness of let's say, the weather in Arizona, and then all of a sudden the extreme of Arizona. So people do not venture outside the house when it's 122 degrees. They may for a time to experience it. Hence, you have park rides, right? You get on the roller coaster, and you know you're going to get scared because you're going to go around a corner. You think you're going to fly out, but it's all part of the plan, right? And in fact, those particular circumstances, if you go to scary movies, that the moment that you're frightened, I've worked with many people, that was a point in time when a demon came in. a point in time when you were a child and somebody was waiting around the corner just to scare you was a entry point, a fracture that allowed demons in. Okay? Now, so I've established the two extremes of fear. Now, let me address hopelessness. Now, hopelessness is a basic fundamental of suicide, meaning that all things have been exhausted. You don't believe that there's joy, pleasure, love, self-worth. This has all been taken from you. Okay? That's what the enemy stole from you, is your self-worth that puts you in bondage, that you become hopeless. You don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. Okay? Now, while you're hopeless, a lot of times you're waiting for the other shoe to drop. And let me define that. In bad relationships, abusive relationships, there's even times in those relationships that there is good times pleasure. Okay? It may be the reason you're in bondage is because the sex is so great. Okay? But otherwise, any other time, it's a bad situation. So the anxieties that come from waiting for the other shoe to drop, otherwise you had a great time in the sack, and because of the history of your relationship, you know within the hour you're going to be fighting. So now you have anxieties because you know the other shoe is going to drop. Now that can bring depression. Because one of the things about anxieties is that it also, you can get angry over the fact that you're being abused. And there may be a part of you that is telling you that I want to kill this individual. And so there's hate. But hate scares you. Okay, we're going to go right back to fear. That you may do something that you'll regret. And when you suppressed that hate, now there's demons behind it, but you can also produce depression. Okay, do you see how this is all going back and forth in the mind? Okay. Now, this leads to heaviness. You're carrying this massive burden that you're in a relationship with someone that you can't break free from. You have hopelessness. The anxieties are overwhelming. Your depression, you can't even get out of bed sometimes, and that's probably one of the reasons the individual doesn't accept you very well, is because you're not bringing joy to them all the time because you're depressed. And so this heaviness, this monkey on your back, goes right back to the very fact that there is no joy or light at the end of the tunnel because you don't see a way out. Now, the next day, the next hour can bring anxiousness. Okay? This all ties together. When anxieties in itself can be a different classification than anxiousness. Anxieties can be an overwhelming sensation within your mind that flows onto your body like you're being electrocuted. It can be so gripping that you're incapable of doing anything. But anxiousness, you know something's coming, and it can be even pleasure. It may you're anxious about your loved one coming home, or you're anxious about the beast that's coming home. Okay. Now, there'll be a point in time that you've had enough. And as I discussed on anger that can bring depression, you may have finally, the straw that broke the camel's back, and you finally lash out. You finally have had enough. You've been cornered. You're willing to strike back. And then you do something again that you wished you hadn't done. Maybe you injured, you broke something. You may have even been arrested, and in reality, it really wasn't your fault because your buttons were being pushed and you were being abused, and you finally just had enough, but the police didn't see it that way. Well, the law didn't. And guess what happens? The loss of hope and the hopelessness and the fear and the anxieties and the depression and heaviness and the anxiousness all go round and round and around, and you're in bondage. Now, what do you think's happening there? I can assure you that every one of these examples that I've just given you, that they're the devil's in the detail, but there's each individual one of these is actually the nature of a demon. So when someone says to you, you think there's a demon behind everything, you say, damn right. And don't you forget it. And these demons hate you. And because of your ignorance, you're in bondage. Now, I don't mean to say that anyone's stupid or ignorant means they just didn't know. And why don't you know? Because the corporate church didn't teach you, didn't prepare you for it. Psychology does have its place to a point, okay? We're creatures of habit. That there is an order of things. But when it comes to abnormal psychology, what do you think's behind all that? Demons. Again, with bipolar and multiple personalities and borderline personality and all the issues that are diagnosed in these manuals, that in reality the root cause is demons. And so a healing needs to take place, an exorcism, a deliverance to exorcise the demons out. Now, let's go right back to the very beginning when I said you like your demons. And then in reality, you may be your worst enemy. You can have things done to you when you're young, like your parent says to you, what a worthless piece of garbage you are, and I don't love you. That those spoken words, the curses, are so much like a knife that goes right into your very soul, that wounds and damages you, that from that day forward that you believe the lie, and that all of these demons, all of these curses, as I mentioned before, I've said this before, they can go have a coffee break for 20 years because you perpetrate these yourself. Now, I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just telling you the way that this thing works. Now, when I pray for someone that comes into the office, sometimes I don't have a lot of time. Sometimes I have several hours. But I can assure you that one of the first things I go after is fear. And then I make sure that when they leave, they have self-worth, that they understand who they are. And when you understand who you are, then you see that what's being done to you is an abomination, is a crime. Would you allow a child to go through this? You were a child once. You're still considered a child before the Lord. So why would we allow this to take place? Now, I named, you know, the show Full Speed Ahead and discussing about your faith, because this keeps you in such bondage, you abandon your faith. And you're not charging full speed ahead because the time is short. The devil's working overtime, and I'm getting reports from all over the place that all hell's breaking loose. And I mentioned last night or the other night that I'm kind of like a command center here. I'm getting reports in from the fourth sector, right? The enemy's making advancements. And then I assess the situation, and I give those things on instruction to take back what the enemy has stolen. You know, just kind of throwing that out there. That's kind of the way it is. Now, let me get into demon possession and demonization. And I've talked about this, and I've written about this, and I've pretty much laid it all out. Possession was not part of the original scriptures. Demonize or demonization. Okay, and there's Greek forms for that. Possession means there's ownership. Now, when you have an individual, you know, vexing was another term. When you have an individual that has rejected Jesus Christ, that has accepted the counterfeit. Now, Satan comes as an angel of light. And we have to understand that things that come before us were warned. And I've written extensively about this, about angels, too, in my chapters. That they can be beautiful. They can be dressed in white. They can be giving the presence and the emotional feeling of incredible euphoria. Okay, so we're warned that Satan comes as an angel of light. So there are people that then have accepted these angels of light and then have sold their souls. Now, until you no longer breathe, I believe there is redemption. But unfortunately, most of the people have had their consciences seared that they're not coming back. Okay, but I believe that God has always provided a way out for everybody. And up into that time, I believe the Holy Spirit was giving the warnings. I entered into a relationship many, many, many years ago, and the Lord was right there telling me, don't do it. And even gave me a dream vision, which I clarify in my books, that, and you've had them, I know you have, that they're not just a, quote, dream, but they're so real. It's like you're there. It's like film footage, you know, being, you know, projected. And there was clear warning as to the outcome of entering into such a relationship. Okay. And that was back before I understood that the Holy Spirit was as guiding as it is. And so I went against the nature and made decisions that affected me financially, emotionally, and physically. And some of you ladies out there have been in bad relationships or marriages that you can comprehend. And gentlemen, same thing. You know, there is a tremendous amount of abuse on men, by the way, that has gone unnoticed or unchecked in the court systems, in the public eye. So it does go both ways, though, that we know statistically, you know, it goes the other way. But you can have abuses can be so defined in different ways that it may not be noticeable to other people, but an undermining of an individual in who they are because of spoken words by supposedly the wife or the husband or the girlfriend or whatever the situation is, that it cuts them down. So I just wanted to clarify that abuse comes in many, many different forms, and we know that. Now, when you then enter into agreement, getting back to the angel of light, when you enter into agreement with one of these things, because they're not of God, then since you have forsaken the word of God, because you're to test the spirit, you were to verify all things, and we were warned about that, then there can be a legal possession that takes place. This is why many of the people that we see in heads of state, many that we see corporately, many that we see in occults, that actually think that they're Jesus Christ. I can remember an individual who went off on a 40-day fast in the woods and came back thinking he was Jesus Christ. What's wrong with this picture? That's big stuff, people. That's blasphemy. Now, when we test the spirit, We align it up with the Word of God, but we also listen to the Holy Spirit. Now, the problem with the circumstance that I just told you about, that since you entered into agreement, you may not hear from the Holy Spirit. You've now been brought into a level of a debased mind. There may have been many, many things that have stacked up over the years that you did not reconcile with, you did not repent, and there were massive open doors. Now, I need to tell you that a lot of the people that are these TV preachers on TBN and some of the others, they're as evil as the day is long. I'm sorry, anyone who thinks Joyce Myers is a woman of God is greatly deceived. She's one of the most blasphemous individuals that I've ever seen. I can't even stand to look at her. I'm sorry. Now, it's one thing to be in error and make mistakes, but it's another to know that what you were doing is wrong and you continue doing it, even though it affects other people to a point that it may lead to death on them. And the accountability within the spirit realm, that whoever, you know, allowed their brother to fall, to stumble, they'll pay the price too. Now, let me talk about demonization, which is another category, possession, but it's not ownership. That's vexing. That means that someone has word cursed you. There is a generational curse. You fornicated and then had a demon transfer, so now you are demonized. Okay. So you haven't sold your soul, but you're greatly misled. Now, that separation between demon possession and demonization can be a very fine line. You know, the fine line of a law enforcement officer versus a criminal can be fine. The fine line between somebody who's a genius and someone who's mad can be a fine line. And so what do we do? How do we determine where we're at? Well, God loves those that he chastens. Okay? He chases you if he loves you. He scolds you. He corrects you. You receive correction. And so the question is, do you accept it? Do you feel conviction that you have understood that you have done wrong? Do you have love and compassion for the people that you have done wrong against? Or is your conscience seared with a hot iron? Okay? I'm bringing all this up because you need to understand that there is a great battle taking place right now. And that means that those who are not right in the heart, or in the head for that matter, that they will actually be an instrument. They're actually going to be a tool of Satan to be the sword that will take other people down. Now, I'm going to make a statement. You know, I've already made a lot of people mad in the past week, so what have I got to lose? And that there's an agreement with us that are in this ministry that we know full well that women are going to be used mightily to take men down. And I bring this up, ladies, because if you love your husband, you need to be standing there with a big stick anytime some woman comes around and you need to smack her. And as sure as the sun's going to rise tomorrow, that anybody that has a deliverance ministry or a ministry that works in the spirit, that is prophetic, that the Jezebels come running. They're like the night crawlers. They're there. I guarantee it. And I mentioned in a ministry before that the wife should have been there more often, and that's hard to do. I get that. But the enemy crept in, and there was a alteration and a change of the structure, the original structure, that actually worked quite well, and people were receiving healing, and there was cooperation, and you know, it was blessed. Well, you know, as things progressed, the particular individual, which I will just refer to as a Jezebel, worked the way in, altered, changed, manipulated, and controlled things to a point that those that were doing the best that they could and you know, miracles were taking place were then suppressed. And, of course, the main target was the leader, the one running the place. And as strange as things are, that when that takes place, when somebody finally understands what's going on and you speak out, then you can be seen as someone that has a chip on their shoulders or has a problem or that you're greatly mistaken or even that there's issues that you need to be dealt with. You got demons. Demons of witchcraft because you're trying to mind control somebody, but also jealousy. Jealousy is terrible in ministries. Terrible. So I'm letting you ladies know that I've talked to some of the top people that I know that you all know, and we've all been in agreement that women are going to be used mightily in these last days to take down godly men. So when I discuss all the issues tonight, you know, about fear and hopelessness and anxieties and depression, heaviness and anxiousness and anger and all of these things, that though it's no separation in sex, you know, versus man and woman, but unfortunately, because of those crimes that were done against women as little girls or young girls, that they're more of a candidate for that certain situation. And I go full circle right back to using witchcraft, mind control, to control a situation. Because the individual may actually think, and believe me, they've probably had an angel of light come to them and made them think that they were anointed, made them think they were special, made them think that there was a task at hand that they only could be the one to do and move forward. And so they're driven. And just as I described tonight about the episode of Full Speed Ahead, you can have these individuals moving full speed ahead. And like, have you ever been on YouTube and see some of these big ships that for some reason someone was asleep at the wheel and they ended up crashing into the dock? Well, that's what these people do. Now, it can be men and women, but I'm bringing out the example of the higher probability. And people get hurt. You're standing on the dock, you know, and you're ready to load, unload, or get on the ship yourself, and next thing you know, you're jumping out of the way for your life because some bulldog came through and just destroyed everything. And it happens all the time. But I need to tell you that in the very basis of all this is witchcraft. Because in witchcraft, and everything I described about the mind and all the emotions and all the feelings, that in order to do such things, that someone needs to be bewitched. Now, in their vexing, the demonization, that is where the demons come in and put strategically in place like chess pieces to be manipulated, to be puppeteered, to be controlled to operate in an individual in a certain way. That's why the multiple personalities, such as borderline, as I've said, that with the multiple personalities, which have a demon attached to each one of them, or demons, there's also a particular grouping of demons that give the particular behavior of borderline personality disorder, which, again, I am telling you is /Jezebel. Now, if someone's operating or someone has borderline personality disorder, there are many classifications of that. You can be one that's non-functional. You can be a functional. You can be one that is a borderline. And a normal borderline couldn't stand up to a borderline. And that gets weird. How many women can you put in a kitchen for any length of time and not have an issue? Sometimes it works. I get it. But you understand what I'm saying? You got too many cooks in the kitchen? Kind of like government projects where one guy's digging the hole and there's six standing around watching them, right? So ministries are at a disadvantage. And I'm telling you that that was done intentionally. Because when anyone walks in the Spirit, when witchcraft comes in, it is so thick like a fog, you can cut it with a knife. And people like Julie, people like myself, are very sensitive to it because we've already been bitten, right? You know, if you're a dog groomer, there's a bite in your future, right? Okay? If you're a prostitute, there's an abortion in your future. Do you see how that works out? So, as sure as the sun's going to rise, and I like that statement because that's what my attorney said to me when there was no hope, that it makes a statement that things are going to happen. Things are in place. That a ministry that does not teach deliverance, does not do spiritual warfare, someone is going to get bit. But unfortunately, it's going to be a high number of individuals. Now, a local church here has already had 4 suicides. One, thank goodness, was not successful. And it was after I was rebuked about deliverance, how I was in error, that Christians cannot have demons. Do you understand what the individual did by making that statement into the spirit realm? You know what they said? They said, come one, come all, referring to demons. This house has a front door and a back door, and all windows are open, and the skyline has been opened up. All demons welcome. That everybody that sits in that congregation, that everyone that sits in the pews, everyone that comes in the foyer all the way into the sanctuary, you are sitting duck, and you're fish in a barrel, and you're going to get shot. Now, as I close here, I hope I'm making sense. I'm trying to get it through to everyone that you don't have a choice. It's full speed ahead in your faith, in your practice of Christianity, that you have the realization that you are a bondservant and you don't have a choice of anything else. You either have the seal of God on your forehead, you either have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, or you don't. Now, we see throughout Scripture that your name can be taken out. And there can be lots of arguments about that, but then we look at Deuteronomy where it says that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, when I originally said in the beginning of the show that you like your demons, and that when I try and pray for someone to get witchcraft out, it doesn't always work out. That when the tentacles, the claws, because remember these spirits are disembodied from the Nephilim. So they could be anything from a dragon to a wolf. Okay? And whatever their assignment was in the spirit realm by Satan and the fallen angels, which I think there can be even an alteration, because you'll get demons that will say, I'm Satan. Say, well, you ain't squat. Well, I did this and I got the rank of Satan. Oh, okay. So that meant you killed somebody. Not just one, thousands. Oof. Kind of gives you creeps, doesn't it? These things are proud that they've killed your family. But see, in order to get someone to go into that behavior, witchcraft has got its tentacles into your brain. that your third eye, that your pineal gland, that your pituitary gland, that your frontal lobe and your mastoids and those parts of the brain are infected with witchcraft, which equates to mind control. And in that mind control, because you're not in the Word, because you're not praying, because you're not doing spiritual warfare, because you haven't been through deliverance, you basically have a horse's bridle, right? You've got this thing in your mouth, and the demons just tug this way, because remember, you don't like pain. And then they tug this way because you like euphoria. You like the sensation of the dopamines, just like that cell phone, psychotronics. And then through either one of these, you go full speed ahead right into the ditch. Just like that ships that I've seen go into the docks and even in, I mean, it's just, how's that even happen? Haven't you ever seen anybody that looked like they really had it together, especially in Hollywood and even in the political realm, and they're just absolutely destroyed? Well, I can assure you that witchcraft is in the details. And because of the open doors and the sin that leads all the way back again to the fear and the anxieties and the depression and all the demons that are behind that, which, by the way, can be put in place because of generational sin or generational curses, because generally what you find that if you see somebody that has anxieties, okay, like let's say I see this all the time, headaches, right? Those things that are so overpowering that the migraines, which are witchcraft, okay, remember I talked about tentacles in the brain? That's why they hurt. Ooh, they're bad. I know they're bad. They make you nauseous. You got to get an ice pack on your head, and you can't have any light because your eyes are so sensitive. That's because the tentacles are like they've drilled into your brain, just like these nanobots that can actually drill into your brain now in the vaccines. Who thinks of that? People who are evil, people who are demon possessed. And so this witchcraft that's within you can be generational. And so you see that, let's say, just using the name, Maggie, where Maggie's a very nice person, okay? But once in a while, she flies off the handle. And when Maggie comes in and sits down in my interview, it turns out Mom used to fly off the handle. And Grandma did too. A lot of people don't know their family much past their grandparents, which is a shame. So what we have is a generational curse. Now, that can be in all different forms, all different manners of behaviors. It can be lust. There's women who are just I'm careful of my words, but sluts. Once a slut, always a slut. Doesn't matter what man they have in their life, they're always going to do. You know why? It's because of demons. I mean, is that really who they are? No, but it's what they became. So is there hope for them? Absolutely. When just like anyone that's in prostitution, most likely that happened because of financial issues. A lack of self-worth and then wanting to be adored or admired by men or desired, and or that they themselves hated men with their man-hater demons, and this was a way of humiliating them. Do you see how complicated this all gets? But I can assure you that it all leads back to witchcraft. So where did witchcraft come in? Well, again, it could be generational, but I'll tell you what. Everyone that I've done deliverance on, and I'm going to go a little over here. I normally, I grab a two-hour block just in case. And in fact, let me look up at the chat. Is anyone asking questions? All right. let me give an example, okay? There was a gal that I worked with many, 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 many years ago, one of the very first ones. and her demonization was the worst I've ever seen. Now, I've seen some bad ones since, but I have to admit that she's in the top five. And guess what the entry point was, okay? Her grandfather was a pervert, and he would give children drugs in order to intoxicate them to do child pornography with the old 8mm cameras. I mean, 16, 8mm, something like that. Now, that, in order to do so, had to be witchcraft behind that, and let me tell you why. Because in order to get, unless you drug children and they don't know it, there's a point of mind control on other individuals. You're actually using, in the spirit realm, a control over someone else through the spirit. That's called bewitching. That's a vexing. Okay? And his desire, his goal was power, money, and women. Okay? That's what he wanted. And through the perversion that came through that, he ended up doing that to children. His daughter ended up being a full practicing witch, and the granddaughter ended up with the curse, whose God's hand was actually on this child and had a destiny of serving him. Okay? So all roads lead back to the witchcraft of the mind control, which then enabled the individual to achieve money, power, and women. Okay? So next time you look at your horoscope, next time that you do something that is contrary to God's word, otherwise you speak something over someone else with anger, your spoken word in and itself can be witchcraft. Now, in the church, we call this charismatic witchcraft. And in this witchcraft, what you're doing is you are releasing demons onto the other person. You're cursing them. See, there's a demon behind every curse. The demon itself is the actual worker bee that carries out the tasks of the curse. It's the mechanism. It's the mechanics. And so now an individual that is normally okay is now feeling ill. It is now feeling the anxieties, now being fearful, now having hopelessness, okay, which I was dealing with here recently with some people, that they lost their faith because of all of these issues that they were dealing with, which turned out to be spoken over them, that it was a curse. These were word curses of charismatic witchcraft spoken onto a second party, third party, and the end result was that they lost their faith. And so my teaching tonight, or my show, what I'm getting at is that these are all demons. God loves you. He has not abandoned you. Through circumstances, you've been under attack. And you may have, you know, all kinds of symptoms. You may even have, sex demons that come to you. And it's just amazing what happens. And all these demons, by the way, are disgustingly perverse. Okay? There may be a demon that is specific of perversion, but they all gang up, all right? Shows you how deprived they are. The depravity of their very nature is just absolutely horrifying. There's evil. They're just evil, right? So when it's hard for you to read the word and to comprehend that God is God and that he's in control and that you've been called for these last days, because again, remember, it's no mistake that you're here for these last days, you need to remember that the whole goal in the first place was to put you where you're at. That's what Satan did. And so I want you to take a second look at yourself and understand that God loves you and that Jesus is at the finish line, okay? You ever seen, you know, we have the Iron Man here, and boy, is that brutal. Man, the people that do that, incredible. And so here you have somebody who's just dehydrated. They can barely put one foot in front of the other, and they're 100 feet from the finishing line, and they fall. And there's 1,000 people. Coeur d'Alene here, it's huge. This is the Ford Ironman. We've got the Coeur d'Alene Lake here for that. And they're just yelling and screaming, come on, come on. Well, that's what Jesus is doing. That's what the Holy Spirit's doing. And then something rises up in you. God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, grabs a hold of you and gets you back up on your feet. And you say, I can do this. And you make it across the finish line. Paul tells us to run the good race. Because the devil is after all of us, ladies and gentlemen. And he's going to do this by destroying our faith. And as I mentioned earlier about, you know, women can be used mightily in the last days to take men down. Then I'm not talking about all women. I'm talking about that there's a selected group out there. You know, we see that some are marked out from the very beginning. It isn't just men he was talking about. There are those that are there specifically to keep us. Now, you ladies can be friends with them too and not know that. You can go to their ministries and not know that. And then next thing you know, you're vexed. All the symptoms that I talked about overwhelmingly take you down and you lose your faith. But I want you to remember the very fact of where you're at means that you had such worth in the kingdom that Satan pulled out all the stops to take you down. And that everybody that partook in that system to take you down will face the judgment. Every one of them. No one gets away with anything. And so as you lift your head up and the countenance comes back because the Holy Spirit breathes life into you, that self-worth is finally brought into you, that you are loved, that you have a purpose, you have a destiny, and what God started, He will finish. And I just simply want you to surrender to the Holy Spirit because He's waiting. Jesus paid for all past, present, and future sins. You've done nothing that you can't be forgiven for. So sometimes what we have to do is we have to forgive ourselves. Okay? And if we've blamed God, we apologize to God. If we've quenched the Holy Spirit, then we apologize for grieving the Holy Spirit. Okay? If we've offended our angels, then we apologize to them. I do. Believe me, I'm a man. I stubbed my toe. I hit my thumb with a hammer. I gotta repent. I'm not perfect. But you see, it's a willful choice that I know that I did wrong and that I step forward and I do it. Now, many of you were put in circumstances that were in such bondage that you were taken to a level that you thought you could never go to and that your faith, the hopelessness, was absolutely robbed. But again, I want you to know that, again, because that was done to you, that shows how valuable you were for the end times, that this was all about Satan. And that witchcraft mind control. So what I want you to do, I want you to, because many of you have anointing, many of you haven't been activated yet. There's an activation, okay? That's that leap of faith of coming out of the nest and in your faith taking that step forward that God's, you know, just like the child that's taking the first step, right? Calling you out. And so since God is a God of honor, He will not force Himself on you. He's waiting for you to be the man and woman of God that God has intended you to be. And so as you lift your head up and you say to yourself, you know what? I made a mistake. I surrendered myself to somebody that should have never, that I should have never been in relationship with. Okay? And that means that, that I, in error, because the Holy Spirit was warning me the whole time, I didn't test the Spirit, I didn't go to the Word, I didn't do what I should do. People warned me, and I maybe pride did that. I don't know, but please forgive me, Father. He'll be there. He will be there. There'll be a tear in his eye. So no matter what you're going through, let's go full speed ahead. There's a job to do. And when you move forward, just like somebody that's in a foxhole during a battle, they may be scared, but courage gets them out of that foxhole. You know, I've been saying now's the time for all good men to come to the aid of their faith. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but it seems to work for me. And of course, when I say man, I say as in man, as in and both, you know, humanity. So we're including women. All right. So does psychotronics cause high ear ringing? Absolutely. Good question. Thank you for bringing that up. There's a lot of ringing in the ears with people right now. I can assure you that that is. Some people will say it's the Holy Spirit. No, it is not. Now, it doesn't mean that it's electronic means. Can it? Yes. But it doesn't mean that. Spirits, when someone is word cursing you, you ever hear the story, wow, my ears were ringing? That's what it means. Somebody through charismatic witchcraft was cursing you. They were speaking ill of you. So in the spirit realm, the demons were released. Now, can that be through electronic means? Yes. And let me tell you why. The iPhone, the smartphone, the technology behind it, its purpose was to destroy you, was to control you like witchcraft. So therefore, the very basis of it is evil. And remember when I said whenever you have an action or you have a circumstance like a curse, what is behind the curse? A demon of poverty, a demon of let's say, you know, you can't go full term on a child. Barrenness. Okay, these are demons. And so I'm telling you that the vaccines, the medications, and the electronic means, otherwise cell phones and cell towers, that there are principalities, powers, rulers of the air. Okay? So that ringing in your ear can be the very fact of the crime or the sin being committed against you, otherwise witchcraft, of mind control, because that's what it's doing, that when the demons come in, and they come in through orifices, okay, they can come in from your bottom, okay, because of a violation, sexual violation, and they can come out that way. They can come in through the ears, they can come in through the nose, they can come in through the mouth. And many times when I deliver people, they will yawn, you know, like the young lady was here yesterday. Okay? Or you can feel a lifting that comes off the head. So the tone, frequency can be variant. What I've noticed is that it will come on, it doesn't just taper in, so to speak, lead in. It just switches on. But as you pray, and I want you to listen to me because I've a lot of people have benefited from this. You say, no, you don't. Stop it. Okay? You take authority over that. Now, if it's an electronic device, it probably will keep going because it's oscillating. It's transmitting. It's doing something to give radio waves of ELF or microwave of the beta range, and so your ears, now I believe that CERN is also bringing ringing in the ears of a lot of people too. So what do? Well, turn your phone off. Pull the battery and see if it goes away. Now, I guess I'm going to go a little bit longer here. So one of the methods with cyclotronics is to use Priuses, the cars. Well, that's weird, Scott. Yeah. That's because they're battery inside. So otherwise, you've got someone who parks a Prius outside your door, apartment complex, office. That battery that is part of the hybrid can sustain that electronic equipment for a very, very long period of time versus the normal car battery. So it can be a very simple device that you wouldn't even see in a car, but the fact that it's bleeding off the hybrid battery can go for days, weeks, months. Okay? So no matter what you do in prayer, this continues. Now, what do you do? Well, how about we bring in the angels? How about we bring in the power of the Holy Spirit to burn out those electronics? Don't be scared. Say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I render this equipment useless. It burns up. It shorts out. Okay? So take a stand. That's what I do, because I know they're doing it to me. I know that woman that tried to run me over in the parking lot, I'll guarantee you that her phone was in her hand. I couldn't see it, but because it was dark, and, you know, like I say, I was working at trying to get the heck out of the way. And she was quite upset. She realized that she had been vexed. She had been bewitched. She had been mind-controlled to run me over. And when she realized what she had done, she was terrified. Holy Spirit told me just to get the heck out of there. So I did. Pretty weird, but it's all over the place. And like I said, being in this ministry is like a command center. I'm getting all this information, all this, the intelligence. We'll call it intelligence. You know, you have you have parts of the military that go out and survey and scout and check and see what's going on. And the way that people call me, that's kind of what's going on. Same thing with Julie. So I just want to encourage everyone that regardless of what's going on out there, God's still in control. We've talked about that. We're taking that stand. That is exactly the way I approach things, and thank goodness that I do, because let me bring this up to you. In fact, that's a good point. The moment you think God is not in control, then that's the moment you lose faith that you're not going to be able to do the task at hand, because you think you're powerless. That's what they want you to believe, and I'm not going to allow that to happen. I know He's in control. Jesus is in me, and therefore I've been given the power. And so I stand in righteousness. I stand for those things that need to be done, and I will go full speed ahead. All right? God bless everyone, and I hope this makes sense. I just felt that I needed to talk about that. All right. Good night.